Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So we've been talking about Bill Belichick the last couple of days and possibly earning the coach of the year. And I think right now he's definitely one of the top two or three candidates in this league. And I thought it was interesting, Burt Breer, SI.com, talking to a few executives about this New England Patriots team. This is one executive, to Burt Breer. We saw them as the best coach team we've seen since we got here. They do everything correct. They do everything disciplined. It's a master-level class in coaching. He's going on to say they're so impressive to watch with the big picture stuff. What they're doing with their quarterback, Mac Jones, and how that affects the defense and what they're doing defensively. All these guys defensively are declining. But they get the most of these guys. They got rid of Steph Gilmore. The corners aren't very good, but they know exactly what coverages they're going to play. They know exactly what their matchups are going to be.
See, it's funny. A lot of these guys defensively are declining.
Yeah, you talking about linebackers?
Linebackers, basically, they're slow, they're used up, but they know exactly where they need to go. I used to say this thing all the time to my coaches, like when they tried to bring a younger guy in. I'm like, yeah, and he may get there. He may be physically faster than me, but he has no idea how to get to where he's going. So eventually, I will get there before him.
Didn't Gerard Mayo say something like this earlier, talking about like he'd rather have a smart, slower linebacker than a fast guy, and they're going to get to the same spot at the same time?
Yeah.
Because the smart guy knows he's got to go, then the other guy's running around in circles before he gets there.
That ultimately is like so – I mean, obviously, you would wish you had –
He's a 250 or 255-pound linebacker who's played linebacker for a while and understands what's going on around him than the 220-pound guy – who's been doing it for a year, who's just, he's fast, but he's fast going the wrong way.
Gerard Mayo.
That's so true.
Fast.
It's so true. Oh boy, he's fast, but he has no idea where he's going. Yeah. No, that is the true, like, so when you have a mature veteran team, that's what you're talking about. So, like, yeah, okay, they may be slow. They may be, you know, not as tough as they used to be. But one thing that everybody is saying about this defense is just focus on the defense is that everybody's in the right position. Like everybody's in the right position. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so now can you make the tackle? Well, for the most part, I can. So there's no big plays given up. There's no, like, you know, crazy situations. No, you're fighting for those 50-50 balls, but at least you're in the right position.
You think Jalen Mills is a good corner?
For me, he's serviceable, I would say that. Compared to what?
No, I'm just saying because...
I mean, really?
I don't, as a matter of fact. But I think in this system it works, you know, because I think it's the coaching. As he's pointed out, he says the corners aren't very good. I think J.C. Jackson is very good. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you sat there and said, you know, Gilmore's not coming back and Jonathan Jones is going to be hurt, he's going to go in the IR. And you sit there and say, geez, now is J.C. Jackson and Jalen Mills and Juwan Williams and Miles Bryant? You know, I'm not so sure. Miles Bryant might be something. We'll see. But I'm not so sure, other than J.C. Jackson, any of these guys are any good. But their coaching is so good. They've gone to zone defense an awful lot ever since Jones got hurt. They're predominantly man D before he got hurt. And then once he went down, they've been going back to zone. But they know exactly where they need to be. They know exactly what the offense is going to do. They'll be able to anticipate it. And it goes back to the linebackers. I don't think that linebacking crew has gotten faster the last 7 or 8 weeks. You know, 6, 7 weeks ago when you asked Rodney if they're slow, he's like, no, they're not maybe slow. They're definitely slow. They're too slow. I don't think they've gotten faster. I just think they're always in the right position. They know what to look for. We saw that clip yesterday of Orlovsky, I believe it was, like with Hightower just calling out a screen because he saw what the tackle was doing.
Yeah.
Or he just saw the formation. So he was already there. He wasn't fast. He just anticipated. He was already there you know, hitting the running back before the ball was even thrown to him. Like, he knew what was going on.
Bentley does that a lot. Bentley's constantly shooting the gap, recognizing where the player is going, anticipating.
Yeah, this is what they're talking about. Like, defensively, this is a very good defense and one of the top defenses in the league. And yet, if you just strip it down, you say, okay, Jalen Mills is the right corner. Juwan Williams is the next guy. Miles Bryant's the next guy. You know, Hightower, Van Noy. Like, you sort of look at it and say,
listen, if you put, if you tell me Jalen Mills is covering CeeDee Lamb, I'm saying CeeDee Lamb is going to win 90% of the time, which he did. So, and even after they play the Dallas Cowboys,
but they're not going to play man anymore.
So far, I'm trying. We were trying to figure out the toughest. When was the last true, you know, good wide receiver that J.C. Jackson played against, like where he was really kind of tested? And I think we had to go. How far back did we have to go?
I think it was Keenan Allen.
It was Keenan Allen.
I think
he had Los Angeles.
Six catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown.
But when you sit there and you have two number ones, call it not high-level number ones, but you got two number one wide receivers. They're both really talented. And each day, each given Sunday, someone's going to go off, okay? You would sit there. Whoever Jalen Mills is covering, that's the guy you're going against. If everything's equal on the at the wide receiver position, you're going to go attack Jalen Mills because – we're going to pick on you. Like Rodney talked about, hey, listen, when he was at Philly, they picked on him all the time. Like, he's still the guy you're going to pick on.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
So how do you protect Jalen Mills?
You go to zone.
Fine.
Which is what they've done. Basically, they did that with the Chargers. It's one of the things they threw after that game. Remember them talking about Herbert was like they played predominantly man all year long. And then what happened? Then they went to the zone defense. They started protecting some of these guys like a Mills. You think play Dallas again? They're going to go one-on-one with him on CeeDee Lamb again? I don't see that happening. So they went to zone. And it's a disciplined group that knows how to play it, that maybe isn't great man-to-man. And it's just it's what this defense does. It's why this coaching is, as the executive said, a master class in coaching. And it's just about it's Bill. Look, identifying talent. You know, we said this before, when you don't have the studs. Like, guys like Kyle Van Noy don't show up. Who was that defensive end they had last year that everybody loved? But there was, like, 2 years ago they loved him, but last year a defensive end, and all of a sudden there's no studs around him anymore. Or when there's no Hightower around anymore in his heyday. And you just sort of sat there and were like, okay.
I know who you're talking about. I cannot.
The role players that come in here that end up being really good is because they're right next to some studs.
Was it Simon?
Yes, John Simon. John Simon. Oh, that's a perfect candidate. You know, just like all these guys that Bill always brings in. Well, they had some great players around them to make them look that much better.
That's an excellent call because you're right. He was a very good player as a role player, but he wasn't a number one.
Winovich.
I'm
just saying.
Feasted on other people's, availability. So he was getting all those sacks that first year, and they were like, he wasn't like he was earning them on their own.
No.
Quarterback was, you know, running
like Judon,
away.
Making Wise look a lot better, maybe.
How about that, though? How about Judon? So earlier in the year, I said the ceiling for Matthew Judon is Defensive Player of the Year. The floor is first-team All-Pro. He's right there.
Yeah.
He's right there. He's got the sack. So right now, he is, tied with Chandler Jones and Mike Vrabel for the most sacks in a year. And he's still got a bunch of games left. Mm. He's still got a bunch of games left.
So this was Dan Graziano, apparently. He said he talked to Titans offensive lineman Roger Saffold III. I want to get to your thoughts on this. Okay. Before they played the Pats, he said he told them something interesting in their approach. He said, because you have no idea what the Patriots are going to look like on defense from week to week, it's important for everyone in the offense to keep their eyes open in the first drive. That way we can get back to the bench after the first drive, collect all this data, give the coaches, and we can plan around and what they believe the Patriots' defensive approach will be for the rest of the game. So when you play the Patriots, they don't stick to one thing. They do something different every single week. And it sounds like this guy was like, our first drive, we were sort of trying to figure out what they do, and then, okay, now that's how we want to attack it.
I hear you, and I would say, you know, if they want to be a straight, true 3-4 defense, they can be a straight, true 3-4 defense. If they want to morph into a 4-3, if they want to do some sort of big nickel situation, they can do that too. To me, as an offensive player, I would always look at the personnel. Like, where, okay, because the Miami Dolphins was the only team I ever played against where no matter what time of year it was, no matter what type of offense you had, they lined up in the same defense every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single
time.
That's
what we do.
It was easy. Zach Thomas is going to be there. Taylor's going to be there. This is what they're doing. It was the easiest week to prep. The Patriots, on the other hand, they may have four different fronts, but out of those four different fronts, they may have, like, you know, maybe three or four different personnel groupings. So this guy's going to go over to the left. This guy's going to go to the right. Hightower's going to be in the ball now. Bentley's going to come down. Okay, now Duggar's in the box now. Okay, so where does that put the safeties? Now who's coming off the sideline? Is it Phillips now? Where is he at? So now I understand that they're trying to figure out what the – usually the offense dictates tempo. To me, when I hear with this guy for the Tennessee Titans, the offensive lineman, it feels like the Patriots defense is dictating. So we would able to sit there and say, we're not going to let the defense tell us what to do. We're going to let the defense adjust to us. It feels like, you know, based on this guy, that they're sitting there waiting to adjust to what they do, which to me, listen, that's a great sign. It's a great sign. I mean, good luck stopping them.
Yeah, because you don't know what, you just don't know what they're going to do. I just think that's an interesting approach, you know, and you could say, well, it didn't work. Well, I mean, they did run for 270 yards, you know, so I think it worked a little bit.
It worked a lot of it. Yeah. I don't think you can't, Bill, I mean, was
they,
of course
they just don't fumble.
Do you feel like Bill was downplaying the 270 yards? Like post game, he was downplaying it like no big deal. Like what do we care?
Well, we knew
won the game.
We knew we were going to strip them for two fumbles.
Yeah, you knew that. You knew you get all those
fumbles.
If you
didn't get a pick in the end zone, it was, you know, they kind of moved the ball.
They were doing everything.
they just fumbled.
Their game plan. That's going back to my least impressive win. That game plan Tennessee had was great. It was working. They just couldn't stop coughing
especially
it up.
Given the personnel that they had available to them. All right, listen, we got Brian Scalabrine. He's going to join us at 3:30. We're going to do some Celtics. Coming up next, I want to talk a little Bruins. Lost last night to Detroit, 2-1.
21.
It was a ridiculous game. I mean, they outshot him. It was over the top. But Jake DeBrusque played in this game. Wasn't exactly welcomed, and it was at home. We also want to talk about the future of Tuukka Rask. We know he's going to come back. Are we sure he's going to choose you? We'll do that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we'll get to some Bruins talk in a minute, but just a quick little Patriots update. Field Yates. He tweets out, Patriots safety Kyle Duggar missed practice today as the team awaits more information on a possible COVID-19-related situation. Mm. While it's uncertain as of now, Duggar could wind up in the reserve COVID-19 list. Yep. Don't know if he's vaccinated or not. Don't know what it means, if he's positive, if there's others. But it's something to kind of keep an eye on here with Kyle Duggar, sounds like.
Because a big part of where you end up as far as your seeding goes for the playoffs – I think a lot of it's going to do is how safely you can maneuver through COVID and injuries.
Just injuries, yeah.
Well, both. COVID can take out three, four players. I'm not even hurt, but hell, I can't play on one of my best.
Amari Cooper's been gone for two days, yeah. Two games, and they've lost both games.
And they play tomorrow.
Yeah, so now they don't even know if he's going to play again. He might miss three, so they have no idea. All right, on to the Bruins, who sit now 11-8. They're actually fifth in the Atlantic Division, but still, they 19 games played. A lot of teams played 22-23, but they lose this game last night to Detroit. 2-1. They outshoot Detroit 42-16 in this game. What are you laughing at?
It's a lot of shots for not a lot of goals.
42-16. They outshot them 42-16. They lost this game 2-1.
How many of them were quality shots?
Oh, yeah,
how about that? Break
shot.
That down. 41. What, 41 were quality shots?
41 quality shots.
Okay. Well, how many were the goalie not actually in that?
Yeah, they would have had. They would have had only 41 if it wasn't for Jake DeBrusque last night, because he took one shot in his, like, what, 10 minutes or so time of ice time.
Relegated to the fourth line.
Yeah, fourth line, didn't get much run at all. Lazar and Kuhlman, he didn't get much run at all in this game. And, of course, everybody at this point knows that he's requested a trade from the Boston Bruins. It seems like nobody minds at all making this thing public. You know, his side, his agent's talking about it. Sweeney has acknowledged it. Everybody's basically acknowledged it, which means he's gone. But because of a COVID breakout down in Providence, you know, and Bleed was out, and Marchand is suspended for three games. DeBrusque is out there, and he's on the fourth line. This is what it sounded like last night at the Boston Garden, by the way. For
Jake DeBrusque getting booed at TD Garden. Jake DeBrusque hearing boo birds at home.
The guy got booed at home.
Oh, what a surprise. Nobody, you're not surprised by that, are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no one should be surprised by that. I expected that more than anything.
But it is interesting, right? Because N'Keal Harry doesn't get booed.
No, but, I mean, different scenario. So it's the middle. So he was asking for a trade before the season, and then he went through all of camp with no issues.
And he hasn't publicly talked about it since.
No, but imagine if a guy, like, and before you even got into the heart, I mean, it's like, what is it, not even been 20 games or something like that? Like, it's barely nothing. And the guy says, listen, I've had it. I'm tired of Cassidy calling me out. I'm tired of him kind of making an example of me. I'm sick of it. Listen, I just want to start over again.
I'm glad they booed him.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what you do. Listen, you play sports here in Boston. You demand a trade. You don't want to be here. And not like you're productive and they're not paying you. You know, it's not like it's a contract thing. You suck. You've sucked forever. The question is effort. You're paying $4.5 million. You're a former first round pick. You're supposed to be something, and it hasn't worked. And most of the time,
it's because of effort.
Like, that's unacceptable around here. So you want to be out of here in Boston?
Maybe he's just
this
sad.
Is how you get. This is how people treat you. Joe Haggerty tweeted this out: request officially made this morning for Jake DeBrusque to speak with the Bruins media about his trade request. DeBrusque has declined to speak with reporters and is leaving the responsibility to others to speak about the situation. Sounds like an upset reporter.
Well, he's right. So, okay, you're comfortable making it known that you don't want to be on the team anymore. So what they end up asking your GM, your head coach, other players on the team, everybody else is forced to kind of respond to your situation that you created. You created this situation. There's innocent bystanders.
He created
So just, why not come out and say, hey, you know what? It just doesn't work here. Yeah, but do you think it has anything to do with your effort? Possibly, but why aren't you trying? Because I hate it here, and I want to go someplace else.
Well, this is like him playing last night. It's not like he's a great player, and teams are like lined up. Oh, my God, DeBrusque is on the trade market. Fluto Shinzawa on The Athletic. Asked some NHL sources for the value of a trade for DeBrusque. Source number one, I would think it's more of a similar player needing or wanting a new environment. So crap for crap. Source number two, Boston's not going to retain any salary, so a full salary player and a diminishing asset, maybe a third-round pick plus a contract, like plus picking up a bad contract. Number three, there'll be significant interest. Difficult trade to make, though. High risk on both sides given the player's potential versus contract. So, in other words, they believe there's still some talent there. So the Bruins would hate to give him up and find out that he's a great player, but at this point they have no choice. So I don't like source number three. Source number four, whatever the market will bear. Interesting scenario. Might have to wait for Marchand and Bleed to return. You're not going to get anything for this guy. You're not going to get anything for this guy. You know, if you're going to somebody take that contract, are you just opening up just cap space more than anything? We should make $4.5 million or something like this. You're not going to get anything for Jake DeBrusque.
They're a mess right now. They're just a total mess.
Of course, $4.5 million could open up a cap room needed for one Tuukka Rask.
He's been around.
See, this is we've talked to Jack Edwards, who we'll talk to tomorrow, by the way. So we'll talk to Jack.
4 o'clock
with Jack Edwards.
Hockey Thursday.
He's been working out with him. I mean, Don Sweeney's talking about him now at the podium, saying everybody knows the situation. He's hurt, and you know, when he gets healthy again, I think we all are aware that, yeah, we'd like to have him. Like, it's just, and he's practicing with the Bruins. Like, it's the strangest thing I've ever seen. I guess in hockey, like, you know, like I said, Jack Edwards always says, yeah, they're a little bit lenient on their rules. But are we sure, 100% sure that, like, you know, come February? Because this was actually, Sean McDonough actually had this. He had the call. Black Friday, that game, the matinee game. He said, Scott McLaughlin wrote this. McDonough revealed during the broadcast, he talked to Tuca on Thursday. And that Rask told him he hopes to return playing in early January. Then he hopes it's with the Bruins. Like, when he's ready to play, I know he wants to finish his career with the Bruins, but you don't think there's going to be some other teams that are going to sit there and say, maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks, a goalie goes down or goes, and they're a really good team, and they say, listen, you can go to Boston, but listen, they're not a goalie away. I got news for you. Like, yeah. They're not a goalie away. We are. Like, how many teams are going to be knocking down his door once he's proven he's ready? But again, you're saying he's practicing with these guys. That is
the weird thing. So he's not under contract. He just shows up at Warrior Ice Arena. He rolls in, gets his own bag. Does he get to go in the locker room? Does he get to go in the training room? Can he walk around the offices and hang out with Sweeney? Like, what is he allowed? Like, the fact that he can practice with current guys that are on the roster and getting paid, I just think is weird. You would never see that happening anywhere else.
Pluto wrote, like, there was a, you know, morning skate, whatever. Omar and Swayman off there, 11:30 practice. Tuca was out there before that, walked off at 11 o'clock. Like, he's hanging out. Yeah, he's getting dressed in a locker room. I don't know, maybe he's got a separate locker room, but, I mean, he's probably hanging out with everybody. Like, he's on the freaking team. So he asked him, and he's just like, hey, you got a moment to chat? And his quote was, I don't have a contract yet. So it's like,
this is so stupid.
It's so bizarre. Am I wrong? So like, no, this guy is like, he's working out with the team. He's practicing with the team, like with the coaches on the staff. He's not down in Providence.
What if he gets hurt? Like, well, what if he gets hurt? He's not under contract. To me, there's so many liabilities.
But we're 100% sure it's going to be Boston or bust.
Oh, I think it's Boston or bust.
Well, he was actually asked, Tuukka Rask, I mean, was asked about this in the summer, his final press appearance, about what his plan would be if the Bruins did not want him. This is what he said.
We'll see when we get there. Maybe I can go play in Finland. I have a part owner of a team in Finland. They're opening a new rink. Maybe at that point, I play in Finland. Who knows? Maybe I go play Czech Republic again. I don't know.
He's been saying Boston or bust.
Well, I think the Bruins would want him. The point is, don't you think other teams are going to sit there and say, how healthy are you? I mean, and we're a better team. I mean, the Bruins right now, 11-8, like, they've got some problems.
So Tuukka Rask is on Warrior Ice, their practice arena, and he's out there basically rehabbing with the team that you would expect him to play on. But then Tuukka Rask gets a better option from, I don't know, Las Vegas maybe. We'll need a goaltender in 2 months. And then he leaves after that, after the Bruins have kind of unofficially been sticking by him for the entire offseason in the first 20 games.
I know he wants to be here, and I know they want to play with him. I just think, I don't know about see how the teams come after him or not. We'll see what happens. And Dabrowski will be gone, hopefully, in another week or so. I can't take the lack of effort thing. I don't think anybody should really take that. All right, Brian Scalabrine, as we mentioned before, he will join us next. We'll talk a little C's.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, the Boston Celtics getting ready to host the 76ers here tonight. And on the call with the great Mike Goldman will be Brian Scalabrine, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Odyssey NBA Insider, Brian Scalabrine Insider Calls are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000. You can enter now by texting PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. Here's Brian Scalabrine. What do you say, Scal? It's Lou and Christian. How you doing?
What's up, guys? How are you guys?
Listen, I'm gonna have to call him out right now because yesterday, you know, Lou and I were teasing you because we feel like you can't say either one of our last names. And I was the first thing I told Lou yesterday. I said, you know, the first thing we're gonna do with Scal is force him to say our first and last names. And I just found out that the producer told you, so this is not fair.
Oh, you guys were gonna do that beforehand?
Yes.
Fourier.
There you go. How about Lou?
Yeah. Merlone.
There it is. We played a couple of them from the broadcast. You're like, check out the baseball show with Lou Merlone.
For you, Lou Merlone.
It's all good.
You guys know when you're doing reads and you don't know it, you got to stretch out a vowel. Merlone. Oh,
there's a difference. You do it live. We get to do it taped and screw it up five or six times.
So. Yeah, tune in on Friday at around 5:50. You'll hear me mess up about 500 reads.
All right, man. I'm excited to talk about this Celtics team because it looks like they're probably the healthiest they've been in a while here against the 76ers. So I guess what do you expect to see tonight from this group maybe finally kind of back together again?
Yeah, so so one thing just from a 30,000-foot view, because I haven't talked to you guys since a lot, like the coaching change and all that stuff, right? And I've been, you know, for a long time, I've always been, you know, I believe that you have to be able to defend at a high level and have versatility, and they have that. And it didn't look like that at the beginning of the year. And then some nights when they're not playing extremely hard, then you could see, like, they're actually not a good basketball team. But when they get after it, you know, they're a pretty good team defensively. And then offensively, I've always been about the ball movement. I just think, you know, the extra pass is the way it goes. And the NBA right now, if you look around at the good teams, all the best passing teams are the teams that are you know, top of the East or top of the West. So I think they're making the right steps. I love Ime in the sense that he has always said, hey, we got to be a better passing team. We've got to move the ball. Our 27th in assist percentage is not going to get it done. So I think they have the identity of what, and this is just my opinion of what it takes to be good in the NBA now. And now it's just a matter of like teaching the guys. And you saw Tatum the other night struggling from the field, but he did a good job of getting other people involved. And I thought it was one of his better games from that standpoint. And I'm excited about if Tatum can become, you know, a 6-7 assist guy and still averaging 26, 27 points, then you're talking about an elite player in this league. So right now, like, I'm high about what I see, but it's consistency is where they have to get to.
So, Scal, I know a lot has changed since the last time we talked to you, and one of the things that has changed, and I want to get your reaction to this, is that we no longer call Al Horford average Al.
Nope.
We actually call him wise old Al. Curious to know your thoughts on his new name.
I mean, it's
a compliment now, right?
Old. He doesn't look old some nights, but, and you know, like, the biggest thing with the Celtics, and it's good, like, Enes Kanter playing a lot better of late, has been good, because I don't think Al Horford's a 30-minute-a-game guy. I don't think I think he's more like a 25, 26-minute-a-game, and I think you'll get the best version of him if you can keep him at that. And but Rob Williams always in and out of the lineup, that hurts him because it makes you have to stretch out. But so if you're calling him wise old Al because he can't move, that's
nope,
bad.
No.
We focus on the wise part. Yeah, pleased with him. I've softened my stance on Al. I like what he's doing this year. So
IQ-wise, he's off the charts, for sure.
So I want to ask you about Ime, because I do think it's an interesting approach. It's almost like he's been trying to break some habits, like break these guys down, whether it's talking about like Tatum and not letting his shot and you got to, you know, help and in other ways when you're not shooting well, or even the other night criticizing his team, saying they seem like individually they're trying to get their games going rather than as a team. So do you like this approach from Ime? Because it looks like he's trying to break them down from some bad habits they formed the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Brad it was a different philosophy. I don't want to call like Tatum dropping 60 is not a bad habit. It's just I think, you know, Ime's come from the San Antonio style where ball movement is king, right? It's like you always made the extra pass. You always went from good to great. And I don't know what it's like to be Jason Tatum where, you know, you're constantly, your whole life, you're getting downhill, you're dicing through the defense, you're always getting to the rim. Never emphasize passing. But, you know, like those type of changes don't happen overnight. One night I was talking to Danny Ainge about this. I think it was like 2 years ago. And we started bringing up some players, right? And he was like, James Harden has always been, like, everyone thinks he's a ball hog, but he's one of the best passers in the NBA. Like, some guys are just – Luka Doncic, even when he was 15 years old, was making hook passes to guys in the corner. Like, some guys are just naturally good passers. And Tatum is not one of them. But he brought up a guy, DeMar DeRozan, who's really passing the ball the last couple of years at a high level. Like, why can't Tatum be like a DeMar DeRozan in passing the ball? And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. I think he averaged 7 assists last year. DeRozan. So I think what Ime is doing is like the best version of the NBA right now is ball movement. Look at the Phoenix Suns, look at the Golden State Warriors, the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks. When everyone is at their best, that ball is popping and you're getting wide open shots. So I think that they understand, like, to get to where you want to go, Tatum and Brown both have to develop as ball, as playmakers and ball movers, and also carry the load. Like, when you're talking about winning it all, man, they're talking about having nights where you're having 30 and 12. That's the type of stuff it takes. If they're talking about, you know, putting a banner up there, and I'm sure that's what eventually everyone in Boston wants to get to.
So the non-pregame, you know, team meeting that did and or didn't exist, I guess it depends on who you talk to, in the beginning of the season with Marcus Smart, you know, they're not passing the ball. Have you seen a significant change as far as attitude and personality with this team?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is not about passing. The biggest thing is about the defense. I think if you look at that moment and just look at the defense since that moment, they're a top five defensive team. So, you know, like, you know, sometimes when you have those meetings, a lot of things is said, but the message coming out might not always be, you know, the correct message, like getting to the media or getting to us. But if just look at their defensive rating from that meeting on, and I've been to a lot of team meetings. Never do the players talk about defense, but sometimes like you have these come to Jesus moments and everyone realizes like, hey, our identity is defensively, we got to pick it up. And since that time, they've been good defensively. We've had a few, like the Brooklyn game was like, I don't know. I don't even know what to describe that. They just got blitzed by those guys. But in general, since that meeting, the defense has gone. They were bottom five to top five. Like, you don't make those type of changes unless something is getting through to them.
All right, Scal, you mentioned Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And there's been, you know, more than one person just talking about, like, when these two are on the court, it doesn't look like they complement one another. It looks a little disconnected. Like, one guy goes, the other guy goes. Do you think these guys need to bring their game together? Can you see that in them? Or is that a fair assessment that it looks kind of disconnected at times?
No, it looks disconnected, but the way you get there is by figuring it out. Like, here's a stat that I was, like, blown away by. Jaylen, this is the start of, I guess, maybe two games ago. Jaylen Brown has made 58 passes to Jason Tatum all year, and only three of those have resulted in assists. All year, three assists to the best player. So, and I set out, like I said a game before that I would love to see. Look, we've already talked about Tatum becoming a playmaker. He's doing a good job of getting other people involved. But there were times when I watched LeBron and D. Wade, and those guys would go two-man game, and they would play off of one another, and it'd be unstoppable because they were such good decision makers. And it wouldn't always result in those guys getting the shot, but it just compromised the defense so much that, you know, Mike Miller would be wide open, Shane Battier would be wide open. So, yeah, I think that's the next step. But they're young and they have a long time to do that. But I do think if you look at it right now, it doesn't look like those guys are figuring out how to together beat, you know, an opponent. But that's the growth that these guys have to get through. And that's the challenge of Ime and trying to get to that point.
You know, Jaylen, I think in the offseason, talking about last year, he didn't have many dunks. It wasn't himself. He didn't feel athletic. He had some issues with that knee. Now this year, whether it's the knee and now the hamstring, are there any concerns about just injury, you know, with this guy? I even said 25 is not supposed to feel this old or whatever it might be, but are you concerned about Jaylen?
I think nowadays with the Celtics, I'm concerned about injuries. Yeah, like Rob Williams missing time. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you have the, like, we don't have the luxury of those guys missing extended time and still being good. So, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, to make it like an assumption, like, man, long term, I don't know if this guy's going to be able to last. Like, I can't make that assumption because I'm not the doctor. I'm not seeing him every day. And, you know, like, I'm not privy to any of that information. But, you know, from the outside in, you remember, players now sit out all the time for stuff that's like not that big of a deal. It's not how it was back in the day. I thought it was really cool the other night. Kevin Durant said, I want to play 48 minutes every night. Like, if my body feels good, I want to play, which is kind of weird to hear guys say that nowadays because everyone seems to be taking load management days and getting rest days and stuff like that so they can prolong their career. So I don't know how serious this stuff is. It's just a lingering thing. And I also don't know, like, sometimes when you're sore, and I'm sure Christian could attest to this, when you're sore, you go out there and you warm up and you start playing, everything goes away. And then you're sore again, you know, the next day. But eventually, you know, like, you just figure out how to navigate getting through, you know, games injured. But I'm not sure not every player plays injured or hurt right now. I think a lot of players kind of pick and choose, and they want to feel 100% before they go out there.
Okay, so Brian, I gotta get your opinion on a league issue. You know, on Sunday, LeBron James actually went and got two fans kicked out of the game for something that they were saying to them. I don't know what they were saying. I don't know if it's, you know, but the idea of a player pointing out fans that are sitting courtside and forcing them to leave, I think is a little childish to me based on the fact that what looks like is LeBron couldn't handle the criticism.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is okay. I'll just tell you what was reported, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like something about like LeBron's son and, you know, like you know, I don't want to say the word, but it's like it wasn't kind. It was not about basketball. I think fans should 100% be able to like criticize players for A, like the money they make, the commercials they're in, the basketball stuff. I totally am fine with that. You want to go at a player for his appearance, you know, I'm actually okay with that too. Like LeBron looking a little old there, like whatever. But like, and you have kids, right? Like,
sure.
Dude, that's messed up, dude. Like talking about a person's family like that while he's out there performing, like I'm not okay with that. But
no, but I think I mean, I guess it would kind of trigger me also. But I just feel like it's a different, you know, obviously atmosphere that we're in now. Where, well, like when you played or when we played, you could really pretty much say whatever the hell you wanted. Now, maybe we were too stupid because we never did anything about it, and maybe, you know, or maybe we don't have the power like a LeBron James or the ability to deal with it. To me, it stood out because I don't know how egregious was it.
Yeah, it stood out to me too. It stood out to me too. But you know, like and you know what? I don't actually know if it was said. It was reported that it was said about LeBron and his son and all this other stuff. And I know. But if what was reported was actually true, then those people got to go. Like, you got to keep it about the player, keep it about the team, keep it about the hoop, and heckle all you want. Keep it about, like the other day, I guess, in Madison Square Garden, someone brought up the fact that Russell Westbrook makes $44 million, and he got mad about it, you know? Like, that's fine. I think that's good heckling. You know, like, they're paying you $44 million. What are you doing out here? So I'm okay with all that, but – once you start going, come on, man. Like you can't be talking about people's families, and you can't be saying things about people's kids and stuff like that. That's like at that point, you got to go. You got to keep it about basketball or keep it about appearance, because you don't bring in people's family.
Scal, speaking of the league stuff, I'm curious your thoughts, because you know, we were talking about Jason Tatum and, you know, not shooting the ball the way he has in the past. Other guys in the league have mentioned it before, and I don't know what you think of Tatum. Maybe it's just an added muscle, added strength, because a lot of people are talking about this basketball, like the new ball. Like, do you hear anything from some of these shooters saying that that's a concern?
I did a piece on NBC Sports Boston, so if you guys want to go check it out, I thought the ball was tremendous. Like, I think it's unbelievable, you know, like compared to the old NBA ball. And so, no, I think that if you guys notice, and I'm sure you guys like this, and so do I, and I'm trying to mention it on the broadcast, is the physicality is way up, and that's great. It's great for the game. The game flows. So, you know, superstar players, they want to go to the free throw line. They want to see the ball go in 6, 7, 8 times a game. Anyway, they don't want any contact. And then when you call a foul on a guy, that guy has to dial it back 10-20%. So no, I think it's about the physicality. And we have this stat where Tatum, you know, if he shoots 12 free throws in a game, he averages 44 points a game on any game where he shoots more than 12 free throws. So obviously it gets your rhythm. You see the ball go in, and all of a sudden now you start making 6, 7, 8, 9 threes in a row. So it doesn't take a lot for these elite scorers to get going, and the free throw line has always been a way for guys to get them to get going, and that's why guys, when they're struggling, go to the basket so they can see the ball go in or get to the free throw line. But the referees are not calling those fouls anymore, and I think personally, I think it's the best thing the NBA has done in years.
Me too.
But you know, but the superstars, you can imagine.
Yeah.
How all the numbers are down, and you can see like everyone's asking, why are you not as good? Well, just watch the games. The games are so different.
All right, he's Brian Scalabrine. He'll be on the call tonight, NBC Sports, with the great Mike Gorman as well. Enjoy the game tonight, Scal, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, pal.
Sounds good.
All right. That is an Odyssey NBA Insider, Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. You can turn your football picks into $10,000. Just enter now by texting PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. I think it's...
Did you notice that when he talked about players getting sore and dealing with stress of a tough season.
Baseball players.
He mentioned me. He's like, Christian, you would know about this getting sore.
I know, who gets sore more than baseball players?
Nobody.
I got to play every single day.
Hey, you know, hey, Christian, you can attest to this. You know, after a hard fart game and you get really sore the next day.
Oh, yeah, I picked up on it. I wanted to say, hey, we baseball players get sore too, Scott.
I know, I almost said it. Games. It was too easy, though. It was too easy.
It was. You know, it's... You know, when I brought up the whole EMA trying to break bad habits, and it's like, you know, Tatum scoring 60 isn't a bad habit. I understand that. But he's trying to break this team down. You know, I mean, he's talked about it. He's talked about, like, you know, Smart. No, he's talked about Tatum. He's talked about Brown, like a mind-boggling experience or a game that he played. And Tatum, like, hey, listen, he's letting missed shots affect him still. Even though that's something before the year started, he wants him to change, affect him on the defensive side of the ball. He's got to find ways to help. You know, then the other night, I thought after that one game, what was the game that they lost the other night? Might have been, I don't know, it was the Nets game, the Spurs game. When he came out after the game and said, these guys are coming out trying to get their own game going as opposed to the team game going. Like, it's like, yeah. Like, every sort of describing everything that we saw last year. And it's just, it becomes individual, disconnected. You know, and I thought it was interesting. He was talking about Scal, and Scal was talking about the two-man game with Tatum and Brown. And we heard Ime Udoka talk about it the other day. Remember that one night it was a two-man game with Tatum and Smart? And it's like, you know, why Tatum and Smart? Why not Tatum and Brown? Well, the two best defenders cover Tatum and Brown, so we're going to put the two best defenders out there on the ball. It's like, yeah, I know, but this is what teams have been doing the whole time. You play a two-man game with your two best players. And maybe it'll get Tatum more one-on-one because they don't want to leave Jaylen Brown open like they want to leave Marcus Smart open.
Yeah.
So the situation he brought up is something that this team just doesn't do, a two-man game with those two guys.
No, and I do think, and remember the unnamed Eastern Conference assistant coach who spoke to some ESPN writer referring to Tatum, you know, is talking about his desire to be the guy and how he doesn't think that he cares about winning, and if he does, it's on his term, and he doesn't want to score 15 and win. He wants to score 39 points and win.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that, by the way. I'm totally fine with Jason Tatum scoring 39 points and the Celtics winning.
Well, at least the guy,
what is wrong
at least
with
the
that?
Guy didn't say, like, you know, 15 points in a win. He'd rather score 39 in a loss.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
at least he didn't say that.
Yeah, so I want to win. You know, I want to score a lot of points, but of course I want to win. And we did this whole breakdown of what was the issue with Tatum and shooting. Yes, the game's been more physical. There's no issues with the ball. No issues with the ball, right? Scout said he did this
well,
whole thing.
The ball,
okay,
but...
I would understand. Like, what has it got? Less air in it? What is it, like,
did you hear that
flat?
Stat he threw out there, by the way?
Which one?
When Jason Tatum gets 12 free throws?
No.
That's a good one, too,
though. No. Jason Tatum's your leading scorer in this team,
oh,
right?
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Leading scorer in this team. Jaylen Brown has passed him 58 times, has passed the ball to Jason Tatum, and it's led to three assists.
How is that?
58 times.
Is he missing the shots?
To your leading scorer. No, it's throwing the ball to Jason Tatum and just sort of giving it to him and isolation ball and then – Dribble, and
pass.
Step back and everything else. That's not an assist. It kind of slows the play. It's like the assist directly to a shot. No. It's like you gave it back to me,
well,
fine.
It
it's my ball
it
now, and
things.
I'm going to
well,
shoot.
Well,
and I'm going to do isolated, and that's it.
It could be that he catches it and misses it because he has had some funky days where he was off. I mean, the last time he played, he was terrible. So it could be a bunch of those things. It could be he had a bad day at the office. It could be that he, you know, takes his time and
you
isolates.
You wouldn't think if your two best players passed. I was curious the other way around. Like, how many times has Tatum passed the ball to Brown? Is it 58 times or is it 7? Does he ever give it up
to
Jaylen Brown once he gets it?
Here's the thing. Like, I think we so focus on these two, this relationship between these two, whether
two
they like
players.
Each other and
it's
whether
work.
It causes this. It really shouldn't be this hard. That's what I would say. If it's this difficult and you have to work on it that much, then it's probably not going to work, right? Like, if I have a relationship and I got to – if it busts my ass to keep somebody happy and vice versa, like, it's too much effort. I want to be able to roll into bed butt naked, nasty, smelling from work, and then not have any issues.
How is
that? It should be easy.
But how do you pass the ball 58 times to your leading scorer and not get 15 assists? No, not
well,
get
I can say
assists.
That the stat
three?
Is extremely skewed, but I would say, okay, so out of the times that Jaylen Brown passed the ball to Jason Tatum, how many times did he just miss the shot? Were 10 assists in one game where he had a terrible game and they kept feeding him? So I don't know how accurate that stat is. I mean, they could dissect it
no,
in
I know.
Different
you
ways.
Dive into the actual stats and actually see the games, but I just think it's – I don't think it's an interesting stat.
The fact is they work too – we focus too much on their relationship and how they act on and off the court. The fact is we keep talking about it because they're just not a good match. Like, they're not compatible. Can we say that? If this was a relationship, would they be compatible?
Right now they don't look like it.
No, I'm no, saying
right
no.
Right now they don't look like it.
We spent the last 2 years talking about these guys, whether they like each other or not.
Tyler?
And yet when Jeff Goodman said that on this program, that these two guys, Tatum and Brown, not only do they have no off-court chemistry, they have none on the court. Like, they've never played together.
Yeah, but everybody chose to focus the off-the-court comment because they showed a couple
Jeff
pictures
Goodman knows?
On Twitter.
What does he know? The baby sits – it doesn't matter.
He said
they have no on-court chemistry.
What did he say, a year ago? Was it even longer than that?
It was last summer, I believe.
It's too obvious. We've been talking about the same thing for years, thinking that it's going to get better. It's a very definition of insanity. And we're doing the same thing over and over again, thinking that it's going to change. It isn't. It isn't going to change.
All right, listen, let's do you're going to give me a little
let's
moment
do
here to do some socks.
Oh, we're going to do
Let
some socks?
Let me do
socks.
Some socks. Yeah,
I'm going to take a break.
No, we're going to do some socks.
Oh, wait,
because,
why? Am I part of this conversation?
Yes, there's a deadline, there's a deadline tonight, and there's going to be a lockout because both sides met today for 7 minutes. Nothing is going to get done, but I don't really know how that affects us right now, a lockout in December. I know some people are outraged with it, but I do want to get into the Red Sox signing a starting pitcher. $10 million to a starting pitcher. I'll tell you who that is and how I expect him to fit in next year. We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.